New Year, it seems, is the time of calling in the experts to solve the problems that we have and to address those we see in the future. Apparently, research shows that the most common New Year's resolutions we make are to lose weight and to be nicer people. And so we gobble up advice from those who are experts in the matters of weight, going to enormous lengths to find that, hard as it might be, the only way to lose it is to eat less. And perhaps we look with admiration on the expertise of people like the 18th century Calvinist, Jonathan Edwards, not the triple jumper, who apparently made a list of 700 resolutions, New Year's resolutions, to enable him to glorify God in every area of his life and to improve himself spiritually. Apparently, it featured regular checks on whether he'd sinned and appropriate repentance if he had. And of course, it's not just in the private domain that we turn to the experts. The Independent newspaper on Friday sought the views of those with knowledge as to how we could save the world. The Archbishop of Canterbury gave the nation the benefit of his wisdom and advice. And of course, the economists at this time are only too willing to give their gloomy predictions and insights for 2009. Every age has those it credits with wisdom and understanding, and generally they are highly regarded and often highly rewarded for their learning and skill. And so this morning's gospel story about the wise men chimes with our own times, when those who were searching go to those who they think have answers. The wise men that we sing of, and it's a lovely carol, are described by Matthew as magi, and the word is used of magicians and astrologers. So they are well known for their observations of nature, from which they probably did gain a lot of wisdom. They had probably studied the many of the world's religions, and no doubt they were very familiar with the world around them. So they were educated in certain ways and certain arts. And the wise men were probably quite wealthy. We can imagine that they would have hired out their great learning to kings. They may well have been in positions in the royal courts. And so it's no surprise that the wise men would notice a star, a new star in the sky. They would understand its significance from the scriptures. A king is born. And they would have the resources to set out on a long and probably difficult journey to find the king. These men followed the star in the sky, so, as Matthew tells us, they could honour and worship the King of the Jews. Since the Jews were a conquered people, it may have made better sense if the wise men had set out to worship the Romans. But they knew that this was not an ordinary king with an ordinary kingdom. In Jesus, they knew something extraordinary had happened, something earth-shattering had happened. St. Matthew, of course, was writing for Jewish Christians. This is the most Jewish of the Gospels. And therefore, for Matthew, it is very important to show how Scripture was fulfilled through the Magi, through the wise men. So you'll note the reference to Micah in the reading there, where he talked about the role, as Micah foresees, the role for Bethlehem. And in the visit of the Magi to the child, Matthew says, to the child Jesus, there are echoes of Isaiah 60. This would have been our Old Testament reading this morning. And Isaiah 60, verse 6 says this: "A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They will bring gold and frankincense and proclaim the praise of the Lord." So Matthew doesn't exactly tell us where the Magi come from, nor does he tell us how many they were. All we know is that they came to worship Jesus and they gave him three gifts, which is probably where the tradition of the three wise men came from. And the quote from Isaiah also shows us why the wise men are often pictured travelling on camels. The Magi, the wise men, were of course Gentiles, they were non-Jews. They had come a long way to pay homage to the King of the Jews. They were the first Gentiles to worship Christ. They are a sign that it is part of God's plan to call all people to worship Christ. All people. People like us, and also people very different from us. People who are rich poor, happy, sad, old, young, everyone is invited to worship the King of the Jews. And the gifts from the Magi are prophetic. The gift of gold speaks of Jesus' kingship. Gold appropriate for kings. He is the one who is to be worshipped as the King of Kings. The gift of frankincense speaks of worship. The image, of course, is that the prayers, our prayers to God rise, as does arise up to heaven, as does the beautiful fragrance of frankincense. And so that gift suggests that Jesus is to be worshipped as the Son of God. And then, of course, myrrh speaks of Jesus' death, because it was used to anoint dead bodies. So myrrh pointing to Jesus' body as he dies for the sins of the world. So there's much more to wisdom. There's much more to the wisdom of the Magi than following the star. There is a terrific awareness, the God-given awareness, of who this child Jesus is. In there, there's inspiration, God-given inspiration and guidance. There is irony in the story of the Magi. Perhaps the greatest irony is that God's people had been looking for God's Messiah. They had been watching and waiting for years, God's people, but so many of them didn't recognise him. Yet it is these Gentiles who found the Messiah, led by the star, the light shining in the darkness. And there are people today who in this world are still, in this dark world, are looking for God, for peace, for abundant life, for hope. They don't know where to turn. They seek wisdom in many places. They learn and they study. They consult the gurus of our times, experts in all things. Some people still look to the stars and hope to find meaning and purpose, life and love in the astrology of today. But what the wise men knew, what the church knows, what we know, is that the true source of all wisdom and meaning and love came to earth as the baby Jesus, God incarnate, God in the flesh, the light of the world. So many seekers are looking in the wrong place. God gave a star to guide. God gave a star to the wise men to guide them who were seeking for the King of the Jews. And God has given us, the church, for those who seek Jesus' light and love today. The light of Christ and his love is for the whole world. The church is to take this light and this love to those who are in darkness, those who are searching and who have not found. The church, if you like, is the star of our age. We are the ones who are to shine now and who are to lead others to the King of Kings. We are to shine so that all people may see Jesus in us and through us and come to worship him. So how about making this our New Year's resolution, to share with others what we have found, to be for others a beacon of light and hope, particularly for those who are struggling with a very difficult start to the new year, people who look forward to bleak prospects. How about being a beacon of light and hope for them, to affirm how good life with God is, to show others the life of wisdom and the way of truth? Let us realise the treasures that we have found. Let's reach out to share them with those who are still seeking. Those who are perhaps let down by so many wise men of our age. Amen.